the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey folks, Jason Bond at Stoneville, Mississippi with another episode of the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast. And with me this morning, I got Jeff Gore. Good to see you, Jeff. And then we also got Brendan Zerweller. And if you hadn't heard that name, Brendan is the new, relatively new, peanut specialist with Mississippi State Extension. He's been with us for 6 or 7 months now, I guess the first of the year, Brendan, is that right?
Yeah, I started in November.
Okay. Well, it's been a little longer than that then. So, well, we're glad to have you in Stoneville. And so why don't you just kind of tell folks who you are and where you're from and how you made your way to Mississippi.
Yeah, Jason, thanks for having me on the podcast. I grew up in Missouri and went to school at University of Missouri. So you're probably maybe wondering how I got into peanuts being from Missouri. But I did a doctoral degree down in Florida. So I was there about 4 or 5 years and primarily worked in peanut. And then Mississippi State had the opportunity to had a position open as a peanut specialist position after Jason left, and I really wanted to stay working in peanut. So, you know, this job really interests me, you know, especially peanuts being relatively new to a lot of areas in Mississippi. You know, that was one thing that I knew there'd be, you know, new challenges and you know, a lot you could learn growing peanuts in a new environment, especially in the northern half of Mississippi. I would say is a lot different than the traditional areas that you see peanut.
I can say that I've enjoyed having Brendan here. I really liked having Jason Sarver here as well. But I've been working on peanuts ever since I've been with Mississippi State for about 11 years now.
Yeah, and you're the de facto peanut specialist when we don't have a peanut specialist.
Well, I get a lot of calls when we don't have a peanut specialist, and I get a lot of calls that I can't answer the questions to, so I'm always glad to have somebody here.
And I get a handful of calls, and none of which can I answer. So yeah, I usually got to call somebody, but I got Brendan's number now. Jeff gave me Brendan's number a couple weeks ago, so I've got some backup now. Yeah.
So yeah. I think another good way to start introducing yourself, Brendan, is maybe tell people kind of what you worked on for your PhD project.
Yeah.
A little bit, kind of things you did at Florida.
Yeah. I did a kind of a lot of different work, but I guess if you were going to, you know, have one theme, it was a lot around water management and variety selection as well. So I did everything from irrigation scheduling. I worked a lot on using soil moisture sensors to schedule irrigation, as well as using sensing data to model and schedule irrigation. So I worked a lot on a program called Peanut Farm, and is available in a smartphone app and a web-based browser. And it was a tool that growers or consultants can use. And it tracks, you know, days after planting, growing degree days and development of the crop, and then also do a soil water balance for scheduling irrigation. So really doing the calibration and validation of that in field. And then looking at a lot of variety tolerance to drought, you know, down there on those really deep sandy soils, you know, in a lot of years you can go from excessive water to dry pretty quickly. So we were looking at a lot in the breeding program there to select germplasm that may be better suited for a dry land environment down there, or an irrigated environment, which may be, you know, not as risky or, you know, to have drought. So
and I know when Jason Kreutz was still here at Stoneville, they had done some work in peanuts with irrigation scheduling and stuff like that. And I don't guess I know much about that other than they did it, but what's the strategy for irrigating peanuts?
Yeah, so, you know, if you're using sensors, it's always tricky. You almost kind of, you have to play around with it a little bit and really kind of find your bearings, because, you know, where you're going to trigger your thresholds on, you know, are really dependent on two things: the depth of irrigation that you're scheduling on, whether it's 4 inches, 6 inches, 8 inches. Generally, the deeper you go, you, you want to schedule at higher amounts of soil water. So there's that factor, and then what depth you're scheduling on, and then that actual value that you're triggering on depends on soil type. Usually when you're on lighter soils, say those sands down there, you'd want to schedule at a higher soil water amount, whether you're using soil moisture sensors or tension too. So down there, I mean, so once you know that and kind of what your field capacity range is, that's typically what I would kind of start at as a baseline, is find what your soil field capacity is. And then usually we try to schedule about half of that as our trigger point for soil moisture. When you get on the tension side, it's a little different. And that's, I guess, one misconception is when you measure tension, 50 centibars is the same in a silt loam as it is in a sand, but the rate at which you reach that differs based on how fast the soil water depletes. So that's why you'd usually schedule at a lower amount with tension. So yeah, those are, some of the things on the scheduling side with irrigation. And then on the irrigation models, they're actually pretty simple how they run. It just takes into account water loss, ET, crop coefficient, how much water the individual soil texture can hold, and it's a checkbook method. So it takes out what's lost every day and then adds in anything that gets replenished through precipitation or irrigation. And that's usually on those two, a good starting place is when you have depleted about 50% of the plant available water.
So I know also, just getting a little more into your background at University of Missouri for your master's degree, that a lot of that work, you were really working with soil fertility. So you have a good soil fertility background, which I think with what you just talked about with water management and that soil fertility background is really a good background for any commodity specialist to have.
Well, thanks.
The irrigation obviously is a big point of interest for a lot of people right now, not just in peanuts, but all of our major, row crop commodities. So I think that's good experience to bring to our state. But Brendan, having been here for several months now, just thinking about the crops that I work in, some of them, if you're standing in a field in Mississippi or you're standing in a field in Tennessee, other than the topography, it probably doesn't look all that different, and then other crops, there's some pretty big fundamental differences. You take, rice in the Delta compared with rice on the prairie in South Louisiana, it can look extremely different. So coming from Florida to Mississippi, are there big differences in the way we grow peanuts versus in the Southeast, or is it fairly similar?
There's definitely differences, and I think that's, one of the things that's really unique about Mississippi as you look at, peanuts grown in the Southeast part of the state versus the pocket in the Northeast part of the state and in the hills of the Delta, even the environment there changes pretty well, a lot. So, I'd say that the Southeast part of the state is a lot more similar to what you see in South Georgia and even some, even in the panhandle of Florida and Central Florida, where you have a lot sandier soils, probably a little more disease pressure than what you see in the northern part of the state. And I think that's one thing. And when I say northern part, I'm kind of referring to everything, but
southeast pocket, the southeast corner.
Yeah. The disease pressure is definitely lower, and definitely the soils too. I mean, you start getting into soils that don't drain quite as well. Crusty soil, that's definitely a new thing that I didn't have to deal with down in Florida. So I definitely learned some lessons there on planting depth and planting ahead of rains and things like that this year. So yeah, you know, quite a, I guess, bit different.
So the soil difference, you mentioned, you know, the really, really sandy soil, and then obviously, you know, we have more of a silt loam in the areas that we grow peanuts, at least in the Delta counties. So how does that influence, you know, peanut? I mean, I can't imagine it does much until the peanut starts to, you know, enter reproductive growth.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it seems that I think it definitely changes it come planting, because and that was one of the things I kind of elucidated earlier, that, you know, typically in the Southeast on sandy soils, we plant peanut pretty deep. But, you know, if you do that on these soils that aren't drained as well, I mean, especially earlier in the season, if you get a lot of moisture, you're probably going to have not as many plants come up as you want. You know, I don't know. I guess I would say that it seems like peanuts don't really like really poorly drained soils, as far as kind of how it affects the rate at what they grow. But I mean, I guess you'd say they're pretty tolerant. That's one thing I'm kind of working out too, is, you know, when you get a year like this and you got a lot of rain, you know, how it really impacts the growth of peanut compared to really well-drained soils.
So what's the line on the soil texture? I mean, I know that, you know, we've got some fields that we think are sandy around here, but then relative to, you know, parts of Georgia, parts of Florida, and even parts of extreme South Mississippi, they're not, you know, the fields I'm talking about are not all that sandy. And then we have fields that are maybe super sandy, you know, on the top side of the field, and then get into some, you know, what we would call mixed textured soil, you know, as you approach the low end. So where's the line, you know, texture-wise, beyond which you don't want to cross to successfully grow a peanut crop?
Yeah, I think, you know, probably well into the mixed range, you know, I think you're okay. I'd say when you start getting on the heavier silt loams, you know, that's where, you know, I would avoid putting peanuts. You know, one thing, you know, I'm growing some peanuts right now on some heavy silt loams just because I wanted to kind of see how they would grow. You know, when it gets dry, often one thing I worry about is how well they peg into that, right? Because it gets, you know, pretty crusty. So that, you know, a peg's got to go down into the soil and develop underground. So if it can't penetrate that crusty top, you're not going to get a pod to form. But also, I think probably one of the biggest factors on growing peanuts with soil textures, maybe not necessarily if they're going to grow or not as well, but just when it comes to harvest.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question.
I think it's something we ran into really 2 years ago big time, is on a lot of these soils that crust real bad, is all the buying points, especially in the Delta, had some problems with a lot of their growers bringing more soil to the buying point than they were peanuts in those trailers, and that was all soil type.
And I mean, pardon me for not knowing, but I mean, that's the problem. It just, when you dig them, it just doesn't shake off
like
it should.
That's right. Or you end up with a bunch of clods that are the same size as a peanut, okay, so they go through the combine.
Yeah, clods too.
End up in the basket. Yeah.
I, you know, on those soils, it's probably a real fine line between, well, if it's too wet, you can't get in the field.
Right.
And peanuts slow to harvest, so you run the risk of having peanuts either waiting to dig or sitting on the ground. But then, as Jeff was saying, when it gets too dry, right, then you're busting up big clods and a lot of clods, so it doesn't break apart as well as if you had a little more moisture in the soil. So it's kind of a double-edged sword there. But, you know.
So I know you've been running around the state some this year. What's peanut crop look like this year? What have you seen in Mississippi that, you know, maybe some of the things that you're working on and some of the things that you're seeing that we could improve on in Mississippi?
Yeah. Well, overall, just to get at the first question, you know, all the peanut that I've come across this year actually looks really good. You know, I think it's probably doing a lot better than, you know, maybe some of the other commodities. And, you know, one thing is we got a lot smaller acreage of peanuts. So, you know, there's probably, you know, on the grower side, a little bit more convenience or easier to kind of hit it at an optimum time where, you know, you're stretched out, you know, planting a lot of acres, you know, you just don't have that window. So, you know, most of our acreage went in later in May, around after May 15th. So, we were able to avoid a lot of those tough early conditions, you know, where you have to face replant. And I think getting off to, you know, a good start was pretty critical. You know, the one thing that I'm not used to coming here, especially, you know, when you get outside of the southeast pocket, is peanut definitely it develops a little slower than I'm used to. You know, for example, you know, typically in the southeast, about 25 days after planting, we're always at first bloom. And I mean, we had peanuts 35 days or so before they hit first bloom. And so that's, you know, that's made it a little bit more challenging too, managing weeds, because the rows are taking pretty long to lap what I'm used to. So I think, you know, I was never really 100% sold on twin row in the southeast. But, you know, if this year is kind of typical at the rate rows lap, I'd say there's probably a big advantage from a weed management side to have twin row, just because you can get row closure a lot sooner. So, I mean, that's, you know, we're looking at twin rows and single rows, seeding rates. You know, one thing that I'm focusing a lot on now too is soil fertility, which you may guess from my background. And, you know, typically, you know, peanut is kind of, it's touted as a low nutrient requiring crop. It's got a deep tap root. It can scavenge nutrients pretty well, which makes it a pretty good rotational crop too. But, you know, all the fertility work's been done on the southeast on pretty sandy soil. So I guess you could say I'm a little interested and maybe skeptical if those nutrient recommendations, you know, fit a lot of the soils here in Mississippi. You know, as we mentioned, the drainage is different. Big thing is probably CEC. So we got higher CEC, which means typically as you go in higher CEC, you actually your recommendations for applying nutrients tend to increase a little bit, just because, you know, you got kind of all the fertilizer you've put out on a sandy soil, low CEC, goes straight into soil solution and it's available. Where you get on heavier, higher CECs, the nutrients tend to, they're not always readily available. So that's why you usually have a higher recommendation. So we're looking at potassium management, gypsum as well, calcium sulfate, which is, you know, a big, probably a little bit different than other crops, is probably the most applied fertilizer in peanut is gypsum. It's been shown to, you know, increase yields as well as improve peanut grade. So we're looking at that. And then I mentioned rotations too. We're doing a lot of rotation work. And I think that's really important to the state, I think, because, you know, we have so much cotton acreage and even corn. And one of the great things about peanut is it's an excellent rotation with cotton. And that's how it's historically fit in the southeast, is, you know, rotating, you know, at least 1 year out with cotton and maybe having corn in the rotation, or doing 2 years of cotton with peanut. So, you know, there's definitely money that can be made in peanut, but as well having benefits and improving cotton yields as well. So just kind of, I guess, taking a shotgun approach on this first year and just looking at, you know, a lot of different things.
So you mentioned the difference in, or in looking at the difference in fertility between the Southeast and Mississippi. And when I started working in peanuts, we dealt with a lot of the same things from an insect standpoint. And, you know, we've had to really, my research program with peanuts has been going back and evaluating which insect pests are most important and evaluating thresholds and figuring out where a lot of our thresholds need to be. So I understand that about the fertility aspect. And I think a lot of that work really needs to be done in Mississippi. And I think we've gone on pretty long here. So why don't we just wrap up? You got any closing comments? It'd probably be a good idea for you to give a shout out with your phone number so folks can get in touch with you.
Yeah. If anyone ever, you know, is growing peanuts and has any questions or is just interested in the crop, reach out to me anytime. My number is 662-769-9849. And emails brendan.zerweller@msstate.edu.
You get bonus points if you can spell his name.
Yeah. It's pronounced just like it sounds, or it's spelt. So once you see it spelled, it becomes a lot easier.
Two L's, two E's.
Yeah.
And, you're the only Z in my phone, by the way.
Yeah, it's hard to come after me and an alphabetical order with Z-U-R-W. So.
Yeah, that's right. Well, man, we sure appreciate you coming over today and visiting with Jeff and I. And, like these guys said, you know, Brendan's available. I know he's eager to meet with as many folks as he can. And we're confident that he's going to do a good job. But if we can do anything to help you, just give us a call. Otherwise, we hope you have a good day.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.